Good to be here with you in Knox this morning. Of course, every time I come back to this church, there's a bit of nostalgia that grips me. The first time I came to this church was when I was in Bible college, which was just up the street. And that was under the ministry of Robert Barr, and Cal Chambers was our youth leader in those days. That's a long time ago. And I've appreciated the contacts that I've had with this church, the friendships that I've made through the years. Some of you may know, most of you probably don't know, that I was on the staff of Evangel Hall for 4 years under Joe Muckin. And in those days, we had the privilege of being part of a staff of this church under Dr. Fitch, who remained a warm and true friend of mine through the years. So it's good to be with you, good to share with you. And of course, coming into the modern history of this church, you took our organist from us. We just got Luke settled into St. Andrews, and he felt the call of God to come down to Spadina and to minister in music. I don't know whether he selected Timon this morning, but he knows that fellow's one of my favorite composers. I appreciated the anthem, appreciated the music every time I come into this church. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, that it is truth, that the gospel remains, as the Apostle Paul declared it, the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Give to us then discerning minds that will understand your word, that we may apply it to our hearts, that we may be blessed and challenged together, and that we may obey whatever it is you tell us to do, that we will do it to the praise of Jesus Christ and the glory of your name. Amen. I want to speak on the theme this morning, building love, giving life. And this morning we want to talk about maintaining a personal relationship with God. This evening we're going to be talking about the fellowship that is so much a part of that relationship. But this morning we want to talk about that relationship with God and maintaining a relationship with God. You remember how Jesus commanded us to have this relationship. A lawyer came to him one day and asked the question, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus replied that the greatest commandment of all was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And what Jesus was talking about there as that passage unfolds is a relationship with God. The lawyer said, "These things are important that you're talking about." And then he refers to the sacrifices of the Old Testament as being important. And when you examine the passage in its context, you will see very clearly that what Jesus was saying, that the supreme thing in all of life is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we know God. That's how we love God. That's how we serve God. And not only did Jesus teach about this personal relationship with God, but he was the embodiment of that relationship, wasn't he? Look at the pattern of his life. How from the very beginning, as the gospel writer Mark records in the very first chapter, we see Jesus rising early in the morning while it is still dark, leaving his friends and the people behind in the house. And we see him going to that solitary place. And we see him establishing the very pattern of his life to pray with his heavenly Father. He did it often. He did it deliberately. He had this personal relationship with his Father. Jesus sought always his Father's face. He taught it. He lived it. And if we're going to know the secret of the Christian life, we're going to have to understand this. And we're going to have to follow him in this. If we're going to transcend the world and its standards and its values and its lifestyle, if we're going to transcend ourselves, then we're going to have to grow into the very likeness of Jesus Christ as he sought this relationship with his Father. Now this morning I want us to think about that relationship. And I want us to think of it in terms of walking in light. The marvelous metaphor that is lifted up for us by the gospel writer John in his first letter, the passage that was read to us, and particularly there to the 7th verse, that if we walk in the light, writes John, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from sin. You will know that John wrote of a conflict in his gospel, in his letter. The conflict that he portrays is between light and darkness. He quotes Jesus as saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What John is saying is that Jesus is light. If we follow Jesus, we are in light. And we will have life. Again, he quotes Jesus as saying, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So that light not only dispels darkness, but light reveals the hiddenness of our sin. And so what I'm suggesting to you this morning is this, that the Christian faith, if it is nothing else, is a mental, moral, spiritual coming to the light of God. And we need to come to the light. Jesus tells us, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light. Why? For fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he says, whoever lives by the truth comes to the light. In that process, you see, Jesus reveals your sin. He reveals my sin. And you see, there are those who reject Jesus Christ for that very reason, because he exposes us, because he reveals us for what we really are. But we're to come to him nevertheless, so that we will be enlightened, so that mentally and morally and spiritually we will live by the truth of God, so that we will become children of light, children of truth, in a day of abounding darkness. Have you ever analyzed what walking is? What do you do when you walk? I know when we get older, we kind of totter along, but we're still, most of us here this morning, we walk. What does it mean to walk? Isn't it a process by which the weight is transferred forward in steps? And each step involves a measure of risk. We're moving to new ground. It may be uneven ground. But nevertheless, we put the weight in a new position. It's really an act of faith. And so it is with walking in the light. It is a walk with Jesus Christ. It is a liberating walk. It is a life-giving walk with the living Lord. And he welcomes us and he encourages us to take the risk. And with light upon us, his light, we move forward into further light. He leads us to a deeper knowledge of himself. And he reveals to us his purpose. And he gives us new insight in understanding God. So that's the first thing, to suggest to you that the Christian life, the Christian experience, is really walking in light. But I want to suggest to you that this walk really involves a response from us. Christ's light breaks in upon our lives through his word and through his spirit and through the help, love, and assistance of many people in many places through the experiences of life. And how does this happen to us? Well, let me suggest, in the first place, it happens by communication. Read the accounts of the calling of the disciples to Jesus. Jesus takes these quite ordinary, common men who were fishermen by occupation, and as they respond to his call, he changes them from fishers of fish to be fishers of men. They may not have understood everything in that call. As Jesus went down to the lakeside and called them from their nets and from their boats, they may not have understood everything. But the thing is, they obeyed. He being communicated to them. And they respond. And I want to suggest to you that Jesus communicates with us today. Through His Word, through His Spirit, through the experiences of life, as we meet and are engaged with other people in those experiences of life. He calls us. He communicates to us. He says, follow me. Take the risk. Come and be one of my disciples. And I will set you upon a pilgrimage of excitement and challenge and blessing. Come after me. And I will do exceedingly good things for you. So he communicates. Second, to walk with Jesus Christ demands a response. How does it happen? Communication? Yes. And then by conformity. That is, we must allow for adjustments to be made in direction and in the location of the next step we take with God. Think of the Apostle Paul for a moment or two. Amazingly, he made himself conformable even unto the death of Jesus Christ, to his life, but also to his death. Remember how he wrote to Timothy, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." The heart's desire of this apostle of God was to be made over into the image and into the likeness of Jesus Christ, to conform his life to the life of Christ. Yes, and as I say it again, beyond that, to the very death of Jesus Christ itself. Conformity. Remember how he said, "For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain." It doesn't matter. I've given myself so much to this principle that whether I live or die, it doesn't matter. It is Christ. The likeness of Christ, the mind of Christ. You fill in the words. The apostle uses them all. Conform to the life and to the death of Jesus Christ. Now there were those known to the apostle Paul who could not pay that price. When they faced the challenge, they counted the cost and they turned away. In that very same chapter, it's most interesting, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul lifts up this idea of conforming to the very death of Jesus Christ, he also speaks of Alexander. I've always been sorry that he used that name. But nevertheless, it's Alexander. Alexander the coppersmith, he writes, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord reward him for what he has done. And then earlier in the chapter, he speaks of Demas. "Demas has forsaken me," writes the Apostle Paul. Why? Why the problem with an Alexander, and why a problem with a Demas? Paul tells us, because they loved this present world They love this present world. They conform to the world. Paul conformed to Jesus Christ, his Lord. To walk with Christ demands response. It happens by communication, as Jesus calls us to be his disciples. It happens by conformity when we give ourselves to follow him in such a way that we are made in the image and in the likeness of Jesus. And then it happens by commitment. Commitment. Venturing forward to take that new step according to the light of Jesus Christ. Mark records how the rich young ruler came to Jesus with the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answers him, and the essence of the answer comes like this: sell everything you have and come follow me. And the cost was too much. The price was too high, and his face fell, and he went away sad. And you remember from the incident that the disciples were observing this. They were watching and they were listening. And they asked themselves, if this fellow, if this fellow who has everything, if he is not going to make it, then who will? Who then can be saved, they asked. And you remember how Jesus answers the minds of his disciples. He points to the possibilities of God. He says, with man this is impossible, but not with God, because all things are possible with God. And then it was that Peter said to Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. Everything. Everything. And friends, that's commitment. That's venturing forward to take a step of faith in the light of Jesus Christ. The rich young ruler couldn't do it. Peter said to his Lord, I've already done it. I've given up everything to follow you. Can you say that this morning? Can you say from your heart, I have left everything to follow you, Jesus? That's commitment. To walk with Jesus in his light demands response. How does it happen? By communication, as he calls us to himself. By conformity, as we allow him to make us over in his likeness and image. By commitment, as we take that step upon which our whole life, everything we own, everything we hope to be, depends. And then forth, comes confidence. Assurance comes to us that we are in the way of God. And a light is given to us so that we might shift the weight once again and to put the foot out and to take yet another step in faith. It's not a confidence that is born of self, but a confidence that is born of God. John expresses it for me. Our problem, let me be personal, my problem this morning is that I claim to have fellowship with Him. And yet, I continue to walk in darkness. That's the problem with most Christians today. If you're honest with yourself, that's your problem. You see, we want the light. And we want to walk in the light. But we also want the world. I use a phrase, forgive me for using it here, but often Christians want one foot in heaven and one foot in hell. They want Jesus. But they want the world too. And you see, John condemns that, friend. Ever so clearly, he condemns it. He tells us that we are living a lie. We are not living according to truth. But then he goes on to say, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. And you see, there are the benefits. They give us confidence. We walk in light. And in light we receive light. And we have fellowship with one another, the support and understanding, the help and love of the people of God. And if and when we do fall into sin, here is our confidence. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. Do you see it? The whole doctrine of justification by faith, upon which theme the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Romans. But here it is, justification by faith, freely receiving the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and more than that, the knowledge that our sins will be accounted to us no more as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Are you here this morning? And you're burdened, and you're worried, and you're troubled. Something has gripped your life, and you want it off your back. The burden has become too much for you. Here is the word for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin, whatever you've done, however tragic. He forgives it. And He removes it from you, never to be accounted to you again. See, friends, that gives us confidence. Confidence for the next step along the path of Christian experience as we walk in the light. Our time's gone. Let me just give you a word or two in conclusion, some practical suggestions. I'll just mention them and leave off. We live in a secular society. You know that. I know that. We're immersed in a non-Christian culture with non-Christian motives, values, lifestyle. And so this walk in light and into light calls for several things from us. First of all, a constant renewing of our mind. The Apostle Paul speaks of that and others. Renewing our mind. Through the Scriptures, through the work of the Holy Spirit as we open our lives to the Spirit, through fellow Christians, renew your mind. Allow for correction, because we all drift, and we move in diverse ways. And so we need teaching, we need to be rebuked, we need correction. Paul says, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Third, receive forgiveness and the cleansing away of guilt. As a pastor, I say to you that this is one of the greatest problems people face today, is accepting forgiveness, of accepting the great doctrine of the Reformation, that they are justified from all sin. Receive it. God has promised it. Take it. Yours. Fourth, constantly rely upon divine grace and power. In that little letter of Jude, great words, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Know that you can't do it yourself. We're powerless. But in God, we have glory and majesty and power and authority. Let him do it. He will keep you from falling. And then fifth, finally, move forward. Are you listening? Move forward in new steps of trust and obedience. Renew the mind. Allow for correction. Receive forgiveness and cleansing. Rely upon God's grace and power. And then move forward. Take a bold step in faith. Walk in light. Trust Christ. And obey him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the Apostle Paul lifted up this tremendous metaphor of light. Help us to know that with Jesus, we're in the light. Oh, Father, help us to ever seek more light. Let the light of the countenance of Jesus Christ might be so about us and in us and working through us that others will see him revealed and will want to know him too. Bless us, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.